Okay, so let's try to explore a very strange comment of the Midrash that Rashi opens the Parsha with, because it really is strange. I can't promise you I know what it's getting at, but let's try to figure it out. Okay, so most of Tazria Mitzora is about Sarat, as Mitzora makes quite clear, but even most of Tazria is about Sarat, but Tazria itself opens with a different mitzvah, or different set of laws, and that is Yoledet, right? The laws of a Yoledet, Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Isha Ki Tazria V'Yalda Zachar, V'Tam'a Shiv'at Yamim, Kimei Nidat Devotat Titma. If a woman has a male son, so then she's Tamei for 7 days, the Brit is on day 8, clearly, conceptually, those are somehow linked, and then she's Tehora for 33 days. If she has a Nikeva, so then 14 and 66 of Tehora, yes. Yes, I won't get into how this halachically plays out now. It's a bit of a nightmare. But we won't get into it. No, even if there's blood, Midoraita, she's Tehora. Right? No. There are some nafkaminas to this, v'halacha, but no. Not surprising. Look, there are a lot of linguistic oddities in this unit. So, for example, when it comes to the male, the woman is described as ki tazria v'yalda zachar, when she conceives and gives birth, active, to a boy. Right, Vielda, she has a child, right, you sort of misses it in English, but she actively gives birth, where when you get to the Nikeva, V'im Nikeva Teled, right, and if a girl shall be born to her, right, so it's a bit more passive, and you got to wonder why exactly it's, right? Correct, so it could be that this is more general, right, that in much of the Torah, definitely in ancient thought, right, male is associated with more active, right, and female with more passive, just in general. I mean, even like, you know, in Chazal, even mere descriptions of like a peg in a hole, right, like when you're building something, right, the peg is the male part, and the whole is the female, right? There's just this sort of like imagery. That's what with computers. Okay, right. So it could be that it's related to that. Right? Who knows? But Rashi here quotes a midrash from Vayikra Rabba, which is very, very odd. Amar Rav Simlai, kishem sheyitzirato shel Adam. Achar kol behema chayav of b'maaseh bireshit, kach torato nitvarsha achar torat behema chayav of. Just like the formation of human beings takes place after that of animals in the in creation, so too, the laws of the birth of human beings take place after the laws of animals. Now, this is very bizarre because, I mean, look, you look at this and it just can't be in any way tapping into pshat because, I mean, what does it even mean? It's not like the laws that immediately preceded it were, the immediately preceding laws. Someone remind me what Shishi and Shvi'i of Shmini are about? Are about kosher and non-kosher animals, and then, yes, Tameh and not and Tahor bugs and creatures and stuff like that. So it is sort of true that, like, the immediate preceding laws are about animals, but, like, as a broadly speaking in the Torah, this is, I mean, it's just untrue. Right? Meaning, like, it's not like this is the beginning of the Torah, right? There's a lot going on. So, you know, maybe it means more limited sense And this is, it seems to be the way the Ibn Ezra takes it, that achar shehishlim torat ha-tahor va-tameh b'ne'echalin, right? Specifically, the laws of purity and impurity of animals, right? This is limited to the laws of purity and impurity. So there, we discussed the animals first, v'hizkir t'mei adam. And then we talk about the purity of man, and we start, v'hechom and aishaya let it, so we start with the case of a woman giving birth, ki haleida yetchila, because chronologically speaking, birth is like the beginning of the life process, right? So it makes sense. So maybe in a limited sense, that's what the Midrash is talking about, that within the world of Tumah and Tahara, we discuss animals before people, but what would that even mean? Meaning, so what? Right? Meaning, I mean, okay, fine, but I can like be mitaritz up in pshat. Like, what is the point of the midrash? But what is midrash getting at? Right? Meaning, I've been thinking more about midrash because as I won't say finished Yerushalmi because technically, I haven't, meaning I stopped doing Yerushalmi Al-Seder like 6 weeks ago, but I've been finding time to finish the last few blot with my Chavrusa in Toronto that we were doing Sanhedrin, so I'm just doing that, but I've moved to doing Sifra for now to finish as much of Midrash Halakha as I can, so now I have a Midrash Halakha Seder. So I'm thinking about Midrash a lot. Okay, so what is, right, so what do you think the Midrash is doing? Right, meaning if, because obviously it's somewhat, right, contorted to get to this, right? It has to be getting at something. So what is it getting at? So, as I mentioned before, Chag, I've been, adapting, right, Price's drashot. It was a big Talmud Chacham from Toronto. And he argues, I won't get through his whole drasha, but I think he does, his opening points, I think, really do help. And that is that there's something here that Chazal are picking up on the importance of chronology in creation. So if that's what it is, then you have to try, if you want to try to parse this very strange midrash, you have to look at other midrashim. And there are the midrashim that play up on the chronology of creation. In fact, very famous midrashim. So what does the midrash say about, right? This midrash references you back to Bereshit. But what does the midrash say about that? Yes, the chronology of creation. It's a very well-known midrash. So it says, human beings were created last. Why? So the midrash says as follows. Midrash says you have two possibilities. Why was human beings created last? Because there are two possible possibilities. If human beings are evil, so what do we say to them? Afilu yitush kadamach, afilu shilshul kadamach. Even the mosquitoes or gnats came before you, even the worms came before you. But im zacha, if he's a tzaddik, what do we say to him? The whole world is created for you. Meaning you were last, so that the table would be set, right? You are the guest at the meal. So obviously the waiters and the cooks and the cleaners got here before you because they were preparing for you. Right? But I think that midrash is pretty clear. The midrash there, I think is a brilliant midrash because what's it saying? Right? It's saying, why were human beings created last? There's no answer to that question because you could literally take it. Meaning there isn't an objective answer to that question because it could be proof of their inferiority or their superiority. But rather, what is it saying? It's almost as Midrash is inviting you to say, look, every fact in life, even if it doesn't have intrinsic meaning, it's an invitation for you to make meaning of it. Right? So if man was created last, that means that there are two ways of looking at our life. Right? And yes, obviously, man had to be created at some point. If he was created first, you either would have said, aha, you're most important, or, right, look, you're here to prepare the way for the mosquitoes. Right? Meaning, it could have gone either way. But that doesn't change the fact that you're supposed to live your life in such a way that it gives meaning to the narrative arc of your life. Meaning you should live a life in which you justify the positive narrative arc that I can superimpose onto your lifestyle. I think Ray Price is definitely right. That midrash is about as contorted as you can get, right? Meaning, the midrash is saying, why was man created? It could have said the exact same thing about why man was created first, right? But it's telling you the goal of human life is to impose, right, meaning onto your life, right? It's to tell your story or make your story be told in a certain way. And I think he's definitely right that this midrash is connected to that one, which is to say, look, Tuma and Tahara, okay, right, we could have twisted this however you want, because obviously human laws came before it, whatever. But Tuma and Tahara, right, now this is already my take on it, but Tuma and Tahara, which are primarily at this point in the Torah, what are they about? No. What is the point of them here? When a human being can come to the Mikdash and not, right? That's the implications. I mean, even during the 33 days or 66 days of purity, she still can't come to the Mikdash. The whole point here is, right, what keeps you away from the Mikdash or what brings you close to God, right? In that context, when you're dealing with the question of when does a person come close to God, when is he distant from God, right, that's the time when it's important to think, right, about our purpose in life, right, about the teleology of the world, right? That's when you go back to Bereishit, when you're thinking about, because what gives meaning to our lives, what allows us to shape the narrative of our life, right, the connection we have with God, the meaning we give to our life. So specifically in the context of Tuma and Tahara, when what we're talking about is when are people, as it were, proximate to God and not proximate to God, right? That's when you got to, right, that's when you start thinking about the creation of the world. You start thinking about teleology. And just like in that midrash, right, when we think about the creation of the world, we're supposed to think there are basically two ways of interpreting the facts on the ground depending on the life we live. When you think about the opportunity or the lack of opportunity to be close to God, that's when you start thinking about teleology, right? That's when you think about what is the purpose of the world, what is my place in the world. Right? And I think that whatever direction you take, and I think you could go in many different directions, the fundamental insight that that's what the Midrash is getting at, right? That it's saying, it's not that chronology intrinsically matters. It's that every time you talk about purpose in life and teleology, it's an invitation to tell a story or live a story or impose meaning based on how you live your life. That's when you go back to Bereishit and these two different possibilities of the type of life you can live. Right? Meaning, and I'll finish with this, but like the Havdil, right? It's the different ways that you could take the evolution story, right? The idea that there was evolution, right? You can either take it in the very materialist sense, which is human beings are not special because they emerged from apes, right? Or you can say, look, the entire history of the world evolved towards humanity, right? There is literally nothing, even if evolution is true, there is nothing intrinsically materialist or spiritual about it. It's all about how you take it, right? You can look at that exact same fact or theory, whatever you want to call it, okay? Right? Technically, it's a theory, right? There's no way we can ever technically prove it. Fine, right? But I have no spiritual problem with it. Right? Some people do because they say, if we emerge from apes, that means we're not special. But what do you mean? Chazal literally gives you the language to say, you could look at any fact and say, either, oh, we're not special because, hey, we were preceded by apes, or, hey, we're special because God set in motion the entire history of the world such that it would evolve into us, right? Very few historical facts have intrinsic meaning. What matters is the meaning you give to it. And I think, just like in that other midrash, which connects it to creation, the time you're supposed to think about is in the laws of Tuma and Tahara. When you're asking the questions, what does it take for me to be close to God and not close to God? That's when these questions of what is the narrative that I shape, that's when it's the most meaningful. So I think whatever exact direction that you're going to take, I think it's clear that that has to be the direction to read this midrash, right? That it's an invitation to impose meaning based on how you live your life. to interpret the facts in a way that makes them meaningful. Okay?